Well, hello and welcome to Purpose Church Online Family. I'm so glad you're joining us. My name is Eric and I'm one of the pastors here. And I tell you this every single week. I love you, Purpose Church Online Family. Wherever you're watching or listening from, I'm so glad you're joining us. But the thing you need to know more than anything is God loves you. And I believe He has something for all of us today. You know, our vision at Purpose Church is to see everyone everywhere following Jesus. And maybe you haven't taken a step into community quite yet. Maybe you're watching or listening online, but you haven't taken a next step into participating and joining Purpose Church. I would love to invite you, if you live close to Purpose Church, to come and visit us in person or to consider going to our webpage, purposechurch.com/next steps, where you can fill out a digital connect card, because we just want to get to know you a little better. We want to help you find community and discover God's purpose for your life. Well, let's open our Bibles to Acts chapter 11, and we're actually going to be spending most of our time at the beginning of the Gospel of Mark, but we'll start in Acts chapter 11. And so while you're flipping there, you know, it was about a month ago that I found myself in the city of Corona. I needed to have my car worked on and have this very specific thing done on my car. And the only place that could do it was the city of Corona. And I haven't spent a lot of time in Corona, but I dropped off my car and it was going to get worked on the whole day. And this happened to be one of like the hottest days of the summer. And so I decided I was going to walk to the local Starbucks. I've told you this before. I know it's not a manly drink, but strawberry acai's are my favorite. Okay. Judge me. It's just my favorite drink. And so I thought I'll walk to the closest Starbucks. I'll work there for a little bit. It'll be a great and productive day. Well, it turns out the closest Starbucks was 2 miles away. And so I start walking in the heat. And by the time I get to the Starbucks, I'm 10 pounds lighter. I have sweat through all of my clothes, but I'm so excited to be inside of that cool air-conditioned room. Well, I sit down and all of a sudden I realize they don't have any outlets and my computer is dead. And I begin to just worry, because I'm like, if I had my own car, I would just drive around to a different Starbucks, but I don't have a car. And I look up on my maps, there's no close Starbucks. And so I just start walking again to the closest coffee shop. And it was like a half gas station, half coffee shop. It was real close to the freeway, about a mile away, and it said they had free Wi-Fi. So I walk for another mile and I get into the coffee shop, and it turns out they do have outlets. So I plug my computer in, but the Wi-Fi is dead. And so here I am again in distress, but I figure, you know what? I don't need the Wi-Fi. I'll just do my work without it. So I walk up to the counter. And as I get up to the counter to order my food, the woman taking my order looks really familiar. And as a pastor, I don't have very many gifts or skills. One of them is remembering people's names. That's one of the things that I kind of can do. And I just look at her and I go, "Is your name Sharon?" And she looks at me and she goes, "Oh, Pastor Eric." And we start having this conversation. You see, Sharon was a member of our church years ago. In fact, she was a member of Purpose Church and she worked at the local McDonald's before she moved out to Corona. And I'm embarrassed to say I spent a lot of time at McDonald's in those days. And so Sharon and I really got to know each other. And every time we would talk at McDonald's, we would talk about the Lord and what He was doing, how He was using her in her workplace and what He was doing in my life. And all of a sudden we got to see each other again, reconnect after several years. And I got to hear about what God was doing in her life and share with him about what he was doing in my life. And it was an incredible experience. You see, I learned this important principle. There are places that walking will take you that driving or other modes of transportation could not. You see, if I had had my car, I would have just gone to a more familiar coffee shop. But because I couldn't, I found myself in this cafe getting to reconnect with this person that I had not seen in years. Here's the spiritual application. In 2024, we often think that we need quick and fast solutions. We feel this urge to live this fast-paced life, and we sort of transfer that onto our spiritual life. That oftentimes, I'll admit to you, I'm looking for spiritual quick fixes. And oftentimes, I'm looking to spiritually grow by myself, because I've convinced myself the fastest way to live, the fastest way to grow is to do it alone. But here's what's crazy. Jesus actually invited his first followers to walk with him and to walk with him slowly and together. And as they walked with him slowly and together, something transformative happened. They actually became like him. You see, today we are slowing down. We're slowing down enough to talk about one Bible word. A Bible word that gets used a lot among believers and not yet believers. A word that gets used inside the church and outside of the church. For some, it's a badge of honor, and for others, it's a weapon of dishonor. It's been a word that usually gets undefined and unexamined. And honestly, that's part of the problem. This word has been reduced to a title, but it was originally meant to be a way of life. And I know at this point you're going, okay, Eric, just get to it already. What is the word? What word are you talking about? The Bible word I'm talking about is this. Christian. Christian. What does the word Christian mean? Or in other words, what is a Christian? Now, it's interesting because the very first time the word Christian is used is actually in Acts chapter 11. In Acts chapter 11, verses 25 and 26, it says, "Then Barnabas went to Tarsus to look for Saul. And when he found him, he brought him to Antioch. So for a whole year, Barnabas and Saul met with the church and taught great numbers of people. The disciples were called Christians first at Antioch." Well, let's define this word Christian. The word Christian is actually the Greek word Christianos. Christianos is two Greek words, Christos and Theon. Christos means anointed one and Messiah. Theon means little. Therefore, Christian literally means little Christ. In fact, New Testament scholar Kenneth Gangle, he writes in the Holman Bible Commentary, "We use that term Christian so commonly, we think it must be scattered all across the New Testament. But it appears only three times, Acts 11, Acts 26, and 1 Peter 4. Normally in Acts, Luke refers to Christians as believers, disciples, or brothers. Christians was an outside nickname, possibly given in derision. It means Christ followers or people of Christ's party." Which leads us to finding number one. Finding number one is this: a Christian is a disciple of Jesus. Okay, great, we've settled it. We've defined it. A Christian is a disciple of Jesus. Let's go home. You can log off. No, don't log off. Don't log off. We're not done with the sermon yet. Because if you're anything like me, you read that definition, you go, okay, but what's a disciple exactly? How do we define that term? And that's a great question. What's a disciple? Well, that word disciple in the Greek language from the text that we're reading from, a disciple is the Greek word mathetes. It's also the Hebrew word talmid. And it means to be a learner or an apprentice. And so Christians were called disciples, and a disciple is someone who is a learner or an apprentice. Now, here's what's interesting about the word disciple, is that it's a word that was used all throughout the Roman Empire. It wasn't necessarily a religious, an only religious term. In fact, at a macro level, the question is not, are you a disciple? Everyone watching or listening right now, the question is not, are you a disciple? The question is, who or what are you a disciple of? That every single one of us is being discipled by something or someone. The question is, who or what is discipling us? Now, in Jesus's day, in the first century, in the ancient Near East, discipleship was not about learning something. It was about becoming someone. And in the first century, rabbis like Jesus, they would clarify their message. And then they would gather these disciples, these learners, these apprentices who would eventually carry their message to everyone, everywhere. And rabbis, they would take a lot of time selecting a few disciples, the cream of the crop, the best of the best. And those disciples, their entire lives would be organized around these three ideas: be with the rabbi, become like their rabbi, and do as their rabbis did. It's why Jesus, being a good first century rabbi, ended his teaching with "go and make disciples." In fact, remember in Matthew chapter 28, where Jesus said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. Jesus wasn't interested in his disciples just knowing a lot about him. He was interested in their obedience. You see, as we're clarifying these terms, to be a Christian or to be a disciple is to obey Jesus. It's to follow Jesus. And these very first Christians, these very first disciples, they became known as people who belong to the way. Remember in Acts chapter 9, verses 1 and 2, meanwhile, Saul, the apostle Paul, before he encountered Christ and had his whole life transformed, was still breathing out murderous threats against the Lord's disciples. There's that word again. He went to the high priest and asked him for letters to the synagogues in Damascus, so that if he found any there who belonged to the way, whether men or women, he might take them as prisoners to Jerusalem. And so this early movement that Jesus is launching is defined by people who are called his disciples, who are Christians, little Christ, who are followers of the way, which leads us to finding number two. A disciple of Jesus is someone who is learning and living the way of Jesus, which leads us to another question. And the question is this: what is the way of Jesus and how do we become like him? I want to propose and suggest and really center our time today in God's word around these ideas that the way of Jesus and how we become like him is about receiving his good news, embodying his good news, and ultimately sharing his good news. So let's start with the first one, receiving. The way of Jesus begins when we turn to him. Well, now let's go back to Mark chapter 1, that Jesus is just beginning his movement. He's a new rabbi on the scene. And it says in Mark chapter 1, verse 14, after John was put in prison, Jesus went into Galilee proclaiming the good news of God. The time has come, Jesus said. The kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe the good news. Now, we're told that Jesus is in Galilee, which was the northern part of Israel, and it's the place where Jesus primarily did his ministry. But Jesus isn't just bringing some message, some external message of good news. Jesus is in fact himself the good news. Jesus's message was not that somebody someday is coming to save you, but that he himself is here to save the whole world. It's about following Jesus, not following some idea. And Jesus says it's about the kingdom of God, and the kingdom of God has come near. It's almost like Jesus is saying, you don't want to miss this. The kingdom of God is something, is a reality, is a way of living that you don't want to miss. Now, everybody reading this, whether you're reading or hearing it for the first time or even back then, would have asked the question, how do I get into the kingdom? How do I become one of his disciples? Do I need to have a lot of money? Do I need to grow up in the right family? Do I need to have a clean record? How is it that I get into the kingdom? What's the key into the kingdom of God that Jesus is proclaiming? And Jesus says to all of us and to his first listeners, I'm so glad you asked. What is the key into the kingdom? It's two words: repent and believe. Repent and believe. In fact, I want to define those words for us. Repent and believe. Repent is the Greek word metaneo, which means to turn around, to change one's mind. In a culture where rabbis would pick the best and the brightest to be their disciples, Jesus says, you can be one of my followers. You can be a part of the kingdom of God if you are willing to repent. I've told you this before, Purpose Church, but Jesus's invitation to salvation and forgiveness is open to everyone who's willing to repent. To repent is to recognize that we are walking away from Jesus, and to turn 180, to turn towards Jesus, to change our minds and allow him to transform us. That's repentance. And then Jesus says, believe. which is the Greek word pisteu, to have complete confidence in, to trust, to have a loyalty to King Jesus. You see, believing is not just about knowing things about Jesus or knowing things about God. It's a way of living your life. Friends, every kingdom, every single kingdom has a key. Worldly kingdoms can only be entered by force, popularity, or birthright. The kingdom of God, which is living with Jesus as our king, is what we were designed for. And it's a kingdom unlike any other. Jesus says the key to his kingdom is repentance and belief. And here's the good news. It's accessible and available to everyone. Which leads us to finding number three. Finding number three. The way of Jesus begins when we turn to him. And we see this begin to happen in just the next verses, Mark chapter 1, verse 16. As Jesus walked beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and his brother Andrew casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen, aka not the likely candidates to be disciples of the new rabbi Jesus. But then Jesus said these words to them, "Come, follow me." Jesus said, "And I will send you out to fish for people." At once they left their nets and followed him. When he had gone a little farther, he saw James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John in a boat preparing their nets. And then I love these two words. Without delay, he called them. And they left their father Zebedee in the boat with the hired men and followed him. You know, I was just sensing as I was preparing this message that there's some of you watching right now or some of you listening who have convinced yourself that there is no way Jesus would ever want you to be one of his disciples, that there's no way you could ever be a Christian, there's no way that you could ever follow God because of all the stuff that's been in your past, because of all the regrettable decisions you've made, and you've just concluded that there's no spot for you in Jesus's family. There's no spot for you in the kingdom of God, and I need to tell you this, it is without delay that Jesus wants to invite you to follow him. It is without delay that Jesus is inviting you right now to become one of his disciples and to become one of his followers. Well, it happens again in Mark chapter 2, verse 13. Once again, Jesus went out beside the lake and a large crowd came to him and he began to teach them. As he walked along, he saw Levi, son of Alphaeus, sitting at the tax collector's booth. Now, tax collectors in that day and age, they made their living exploiting people and overtaxing them. They had the power of Rome behind them, and they would especially overtax the Jews. And yet Jesus says to Levi, who's also Matthew, "Follow me," Jesus told him. And Levi got up and followed him. While Jesus was having dinner at Levi's house, many tax collectors and sinners were eating with him and his disciples, for there were many who followed him. When the teachers of the law, who were the Pharisees, saw him eating with the sinners and tax collectors, they asked his disciples, "Why does he eat with tax collectors and sinners?" You see, these Pharisees had been around rabbis their whole lives, and they're seeing Jesus be a rabbi like they had never seen before. But Jesus, he has perfect hearing. And on hearing this, Jesus said to them, "It is not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners." Is Jesus saying that the Pharisees are healthy? Is he saying that the Pharisees are righteous? Well, certainly not, because only five chapters later in Mark chapter 7, Jesus will call these exact same religious leaders, these Pharisees, he will call them hypocrites. You see, within Jesus' statement that it is not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick, he's asking a question. He's implying a question to these Pharisees, and I think it's the same question he's applying to us, and it's this: are you healthy and righteous, or are you sick and a sinner and in need of a doctor? The truth of the Bible, the truth of the gospel is that apart from Jesus Christ, every single one of us is sick. Every single one of us is a sinner. We need the great and perfect physician, Jesus Christ, to extend to us his good news, which is his grace. This leads us to number two. Embodying the way of Jesus deepens as we walk with him. In Mark chapter 3, verse 13, Jesus went up on a mountainside and called to him those he wanted, and they came to him. He appointed 12 that they might be with him and that he might send them out to preach. And this is really significant. Before Jesus ever called them, these disciples, to go and do something, he invited them to come and be with him. This is what embodying is all about. This is how our relationship with Jesus deepens as we walk with him. The same invitation is extended to every single one of us because God wants all of us to be disciples of Jesus, which means Jesus wants to invite you to come and be with him. And then he's going to send you out to go and do. It kind of reminds me of Brother Lawrence, the 17th century monk. He said it this way: I still believe that all spiritual life consists of practicing God's presence, and that anyone who practices it correctly will soon attain spiritual fulfillment. To accomplish this, it is necessary for the heart to be emptied of everything that would offend God. He wants to possess our hearts completely. Before any work can be done in our souls, God must be totally in control. And that is a process, and that deepens as we walk with Jesus. But the question is, well, how do we walk with Jesus? And how do we embody the good news? One of the ways to answer that is to practice spiritual disciplines alone and in community. And when we do that, when we practice spiritual disciplines, we actually become like Jesus in the process. That's the goal. Practicing spiritual disciplines is not just for the sake of practicing them. It's that we might be formed and become more like Jesus in the process. In fact, there's a great resource we're going to talk about in a few minutes called Practicing the Way. And they offer several spiritual disciplines for us to practice in community and on our own. Those include Sabbath, prayer, fasting, solitude, generosity, reading scripture, living in community, serving others, and being a witness of Christ. Which leads us to finding number 4. The way of Jesus deepens as we walk with him. Now sharing, here's where we get to part 3. Sharing. The way of Jesus leads us to proclaim him. So we continue through the Gospel of Mark. Jesus continues to teach. He develops his disciples. He dies on the cross. He rises from the dead. And before he ascends to be with the Father, we hear his parting words. And those are recorded for us in Acts chapter 1, verse 6. Then they gathered around him, the disciples gathered around Jesus after he had risen from the dead. They're amazed at this miracle. And they asked him, Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel? Essentially, they're asking, Jesus, you're back from the dead. Is now the time that we get to overthrow Rome? Is now the time that we get to see your full kingdom reign with you as everyone's king? And Jesus' response is really interesting. In verses 7 and 8, he says this: It is not for you to know the times or dates the Father has set by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. You see, Jesus is essentially saying, you won't know when I'm coming back. And I know it's tempting to spend all of your time obsessing about when I will come back. But Jesus here, he pivots and he says, guys, I want you to think about something else. I actually have a more important job for you. And it's this: be my witnesses. Represent me. Be my disciples. You see, Jesus's priority for your life is not that you would predict when his second coming is happening. His priority for your life is that you would live like the second coming is happening by receiving, embodying, and sharing the way of Jesus every day of your life. Now, there's so many examples of people who are doing this, but I can't help but take this moment to just highlight Pastor Glenn and Kimberly. I think they have been incredible, amazing examples of what it means to receive, embody, and share Jesus with our community. In fact, a couple years ago, Pastor Glenn was recognized as one of the most impactful people in the city of Pomona. The Pomona Gold Line is making a Hall of Gratitude at the train station featuring world changers in Pomona. And there are only enough spots for 56 people. Now, keep in mind, Pomona's population is well over 150,000 people, and Pastor Glenn was chosen to be painted on this wall of gratitude. And this is what will be said about him under his picture. Glenn showed me the power of faith. And it's also cool to note that Pastor Eric Vasquez, our own local missions pastor here at Purpose Church, was also mentioned and will be featured as showing me the power of caring. What a significant impact these two families have had in our community. Here's the point. When you receive, embody, and share the way of Jesus, your community and the world will be changed, which leads us to finding number five, the way of Jesus leads us to proclaim him. You know, I want to take this moment to just acknowledge that this is a big month for us as a church. At the month of September, we're going to take some time to celebrate Pastor Glenn and Kimberly and the entire Gunderson family. In fact, we've got several events and gatherings that I want to make sure you know about and Sundays that you can't miss. In fact, next Sunday, Pastor Glenn is going to preach a biblical message where he is going to use his seven favorite movie clips. So make sure you're here on September 15th. We're going to hear Pastor Glenn's first sermon that he preached back in 1993 as our lead pastor. And then on the 22nd, we'll hear Glenn's last sermon as lead pastor. And then on the 29th, we will celebrate Pastor Glenn and Kimberly and God's faithfulness to our church through their ministry. We also have several other events that we want to make sure you know about. And so go to purposechurch.com/retirement so you don't miss any of these. And the thing about Pastor Glenn and Kimberly is they have pastored and shepherded all the generations of Purpose Church. Even within my own family, my kids, my children are processing the reality that Pastor Glenn won't be our lead pastor anymore. And it actually motivated my daughter Brinley, my 10-year-old daughter Brinley, to personally invite you to not miss any of these events. In fact, Brinley, she is writing a newsletter. And so for any of our communications people, if you're looking for tips from Brinley, she, as she's processing this, she created a newsletter called What's New with Purpose. And I love this tagline. So much is happening, you better stay caught up. A little threatening, but that's okay. That's okay. Stay motivated, stay caught up. And here's what Brinley had to say. Pastor Glenn has been our beloved pastor for over 31 years. Recently, Pastor Glenn announced that he was going to be retiring this October. His last sermon will be on September 22nd. Please try your best to be there to support and encourage Pastor Glenn in his next steps. So take it from all of us at Purpose Church. Take it from Brinley. We want to see you this month. So what did the disciples do next? They heard the commission from Jesus to go and be my witnesses, to proclaim Jesus as a part of the way of Jesus. What did they do next? They started practicing the way of Jesus together. Acts chapter 1, verse 14. They all joined together constantly in prayer, along with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brothers. They started doing what Jesus taught them and commanded them to do together in community. You know, several weeks ago, I had the opportunity to be at two separate events that were so powerful. Two different dads in our church put on rites of passage, sort of manhood rites of passage events for their sons. It was Mike Hardy for his son, Luke Hardy, and John Burdett, our choir and orchestra director here at Purpose Church, put on an event for his son, Ryder. And at these events, they gathered men who had been influential in their son's life. And I gotta be honest, I don't know why I was invited. I was the village idiot at both. I was just there kind of observing and taking it in. But what I heard over and over and over again as these different men were speaking life and advice and wisdom into Luke and Ryder, what I kept hearing over and over and over again was essentially this: you can't do life well alone. You can't do life well alone, which leads us to finding number six. Practicing the way of Jesus happens best in community. In 2024, Barna released some data that found 39% of Christians are not engaged in discipleship. Now, that means 61% are engaged in some form of discipleship. And I'm proud to report at Purpose Church that that number is even higher, that through life groups and Sunday morning classes, through recovery and Bible study groups, that we have so many people involved in discipleship groups here at Purpose Church. But here's the reality: we're growing. Our online community, our in-person community is growing. And it's why one of our top priorities at Purpose Church is helping you become more like Jesus as one of his disciples. And before you conclude, well, I don't know if I could be a disciple. I don't know if I could be a Christian. I don't know if I'm ready to be in a group. It doesn't matter what your current proximity or relationship status to Jesus is. He is inviting every single one of us to take a step into community. And so in a moment, I want to interview our groups pastor here at Purpose Church. And Ashley's going to share with us, Pastor Ashley's going to share about an exciting new opportunity we have here at Purpose Church to go deeper in our relationship with Christ together. But before we hear from Pastor Ashley, let's watch this together.
Who are you following? Everybody is following somebody or something. Put another way, everyone is a disciple. The question is not, are you a disciple? It's who or what are you a disciple of? 2,000 years ago, Jesus invited his first disciples to come and follow me. But what does it mean to follow Jesus today in our busy, digitally distracted, and increasingly secular cities? Over the last two millennia, millions of people have said yes to Jesus' invitation. It's changed not only their lives, but the course of human history. And it can do the same for you.
Now, Pastor Ashley, I know we are both so excited about this new opportunity for groups at Purpose Church and people who are not in a group yet at Purpose Church to engage and to go deeper with each other and deeper with Jesus through this resource, the Practicing the Way. And so I just wanted to ask you this question. Why did you choose Practicing the Way for our life groups this fall?
Yeah, of course. So good to be here. And I am just so excited about this new curriculum. And I just want to start by saying that this decision doesn't get taken lightly. Mm. And we pray through these decisions and make sure that it's filled with a lot of prayer. And there were a few things that impacted this decision. Firstly, we're entering a historic and unprecedented season here at Purpose Church, where our lead pastor of 31 years is retiring. And that is a lot of change. Mm. And so we wanted to provide a curriculum that would be unifying and would really bring people together in the midst of such a big transition. And then secondly, we wanted a curriculum that would take us deeper in our spiritual walk with the Lord. Mm. What does that mean? What does it mean to go deeper in our spiritual formation? I feel like it's so easy for all of us to become complacent in our spiritual walk, to get comfortable. Mm. And so we really wanted something that would stretch us all to go a little bit deeper in our faith. Mm. And whether we're new in our faith or whether we have been following Jesus for a long time, I feel like this curriculum is great for everyone. Mm. And then lastly, it's our vision here at Purpose to see everyone everywhere following Jesus. And so how do we practically follow Jesus? This curriculum gives us the practical tools we need to follow Jesus well, and it aligns really well with the heartbeat of our church. And so I'm really excited about it.
I love that. And Pastor Ashley, this isn't just a great curriculum that you found, but it's one you have personally experienced. And so would you share with us, how has practicing the way impacted you and your group?
Yeah, absolutely. So my life group and I have been going through Practicing the Way curriculum over the last year, probably. I always am so grateful for them because they are willing to try new things when when I say, hey, let's try this new curriculum to see if it's good for our church. So grateful for them. Mm. But not only has this curriculum impacted my own spiritual walk, but it's been really beautiful to see the impact on all of the ladies in my life group. Mm. And I remember one week we were talking about prayer, and we were diving into how we could better listen to God. And one of the girls in my group, she's a physical therapist, and she shared how she felt God calling her to start praying over her patients. Now, keep in mind, she's not allowed to do this at her job, and she could really get fired for doing this at her job. But she felt called by God to be bold in her faith, and she didn't do it out loud for every single person. But when she listened and she felt the prompting from the Lord, she would offer to pray over her patient. And wow, that's just amazing to me. But since then, she shared that there have been several moments where a patient, she prayed over them and they just were so grateful. One of them started crying. And how cool that she's not only getting to physically heal them, but now is spiritually getting to heal them.
Wow.
And so this curriculum, it's not just something we learn. It's something we practice. That's why it's called Practicing the Way. And our faith is meant to be lived out. And I've seen that in the life of my group. And as you said in your message, practicing the way happens best in community. And her story, I love, because her story inspired all of us to go deeper in our faith and to listen to God and be bold in our faith. And we're spurring each other on to love and good works. And that's what it's all about.
Wow, that's amazing. Thank you so much, Ashley. Number three, who is Practicing the Way for, and what can people expect if they join a Practicing the Way life group?
Yes. Yeah, so first, who is it for? It is for everyone. Everyone. Whether you're new to your faith or maybe you've been following Jesus for a really long time, this curriculum is beautifully written to be accessible to a wide array of people. And I believe that this content will be transformative to anyone who goes through it. And then what can you expect? Practicing the Way is all about spiritual formation and kind of the rhythm that you'll be in every single week. There's four things. It's learn, practice, reflect, and process together. So first and foremost, learn. We come together in community, in our groups, and we learn about the way of Jesus. And then second, you're sent home to practice on your own with spiritual exercises. That could be as simple as finding a time to pray or exploring the Sabbath and rest and what that means in your life. And then third, you reflect on your personal experiences with God. So how is this impacting me personally? And then fourth, you process together. So you come back together as a group and you discuss what's been coming up through those experiences. So it's an 8-week primer on spiritual formation and how we can grow deeper in following Jesus.
Wow, that's amazing. And then last question I want to ask you is, how do people get plugged into a Practicing the Way life group this fall? And when does it start?
Yeah, so groups are starting the week of September 15th. We would love to get you involved. You can head to purposechurch.com/groups or our Church Center app to find a group that works for your schedule. We have groups available for every age and stage. In particular, we have about 13 open groups that are going through Practicing the Way in particular. That includes groups for women, co-ed, couples, singles, you name it. I think we can find a group for you. our Thursday morning women's Bible studies going through it. Our marriage and family group that usually meets on Sundays is going through it. We have a Wednesday night. So if you have kiddos in Awana, you can come and get plugged into a group there. And for those of you who are watching online too, we have a ton of virtual options as well. So we would love to get you plugged in. I'm confident we can find a group for you. And I'm also confident that if you take this step to join a group this fall, even if it's uncomfortable, even if that's a big step for you, I know you're going to be transformed and it's going to be an incredible experience for you. So I encourage you to sign up and join a group today. But
that's awesome. That's awesome. Well, Pastor Ashley, would you mind just praying for everyone watching and listening to this as they're processing what their next steps are, especially as they think about leaning into community?
I would love to. Let's pray. Jesus, we thank you so much for every single person who is watching online right now. God, thank you that you have brought them here for a reason. And Lord, I pray that wherever they're at in their walk with you, I pray that they would have the boldness to take that next step, whether it's just taking a step to follow you, God, or maybe it's to join a group this fall, Lord. I pray that you would just tug on their heart right now and let them know exactly what they should be doing this fall, God. We pray a blessing over every single person, and we know that you're going to do amazing things in groups this fall and in the life of our church. We love you, God, and we thank you so much for this time. It's in your name we pray. Amen.
Amen.